Welcome back with Community Conversations. We are continuing to look at drag in a digital world, and we're talking with a drag king today, the illustrious Jay Cruz. So thank you for joining me, Jay. I can't talk today.
It's okay.
Can you tell me a little bit about Jay Cruz? I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, it's like Jay Crew.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I created the name like 15 million years ago, I didn't realize it was a clothing company too. But you know, it's Cruz, not Crew. But yeah, a lot of people ask me if I have those kind of clothing, and I was like, no, I'm bougie on a budget. No, I've been doing drag.
When did J. Cruz come into being?
Oh Lord, came into being about 15 years ago on a dare, actually.
Really?
It was for like a little talent show at, as we discussed, the name drop, Some She's. And I actually was like, you know, I'll try it. And I won, and I got hooked ever since.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. Some She's, of course, was the coffee shop that was around, so like what, 2003, 2004? It was open for a little while. But yeah, so I guess it led you down a path of I can't even think of where to go with that. led you down a rabbit hole. So and you've been performing ever since.
Yes, I've been performing on and off for a while, but that's why a lot of people haven't heard of me a lot recently, is because I actually dropped off the radar. I just needed to, you know, get back to focus, get back where I was at mentally, and come back even stronger. And now I'm back.
So tell us some of the places that you've performed over the years, and in Louisville or outside of Louisville?
Yes. So I've performed in, I've performed in New York, and that was really, really fun. I've performed in Lexington. We actually just performed in Lexington earlier this year. I'm actually with a performing group called the Unsupervised Adults. We're a troupe, and we're definitely a troupe. We call ourselves like little misfits. But unfortunately right now, because we're not performing, but that doesn't mean we're still not promoting and stuff like that. But Lexington, Louisville, now I'm drawing a blank. But I know definitely New York was, I have to be the greatest so far, because they haven't heard of a drag king. And I was like, ooh, well, ta-da. Yeah.
So is there anywhere in normal times, I mean, obviously we're in the time of now more than ever, but in normal times, are there any places where drag kings are performing in Louisville?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. A big one is Play Louisville. Okay. On Thursday nights, it is it's called Ladies Night. Unfortunately, right now, not so much, but it's called Ladies Night. They are more driven for drag kings and divas, some queens, some males, male performers. But when it was originally made, because back in the day, I was there when Play opened for Ladies Night. That was the driving force, was for kings and divas to get more of a mix out there to kind of rep and let people know that we are here. And we all definitely have a talent. And there's a lot of drag kings out there, like TB Sparrow, Rocky, you know, a man named Murphy. Oh, gosh, Tyler Tite. Well, he's a male lead, but he is awesome. You know, there's just tons of great drag kings out there that unfortunately, you know, sometimes get looked over, but we're here, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've been out to the bars back in the Some She days. So, you know, back then if a bar had drag queens, it did not have drag kings, you know, at least that was my recollection. And I don't recollect much from those days. But now things are a little more mixed. You know, I think we have relaxed some of our ideas about, you know, strict rules about who can be a queen or a king or things like that. What's it like? But still, certainly the focus and the majority of probably the money and everything is on drag queens. So what's it like to be a king in a queen's world?
Definitely. Being a king in a queen's world, you know, I love my queens. Queens are most definitely awesome. I have tons of drag queen friends, you know, and it is hard. You know, it is hard being a drag king. Now, has it changed? It's changing. We are changing the roles of, you know, we're coming up because with a lot of queens, it's flashier costumes and, you know, dancing and stuff like that. And drag kings, we are actually, you have to go with the times and you have to change constantly. And drag in general, because drag 20 years ago is not the drag now. And so we're definitely moving up, but it is hard. Because, you know, with the queen, I mean, they could do a lot more than drag kings can do, and especially male, because males can show a lot, and not so much drag kings. You know, we're all not built for that. So, but I think drag queens, you know, they do get a lot of notoriety, and you know, if they work for it, yeah, definitely. You know, I'll give them all my money, you know, for sure. But, you know, we're just hanging in there. And it's hard, but me personally, I don't let that stop me. Because that might be, go ahead.
Oh, so I was just going to ask if you found that the audience for drag shows, is there a lot of crossover, or is the audience for drag kings totally different than the audience for drag queens?
Of pageants that I've definitely seen, you know, drag queens have been around a lot longer than kings. So I think that plays into it, is we're still new, we're still up and coming, and we're still making our way and showing people that we can give you a show just like a queen can. We can blow your mind. And we can give you an actual performance. We can entertain you. You know, I tell people I'm a performer, but I'm actually an entertainer because I want you to be entertained. Your eyes are not going to be all focused off of me. I'm going to make sure you see me.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of blown away by the performances we had in the virtual drag show, yourself included. I was really very impressed with all of those. Tell me a little bit about what sort of performing you're doing during COVID right now, or if you're able to do anything.
Yeah, so I've done the Lexington one, not Lexington, I'm sorry, Louisville. We were talking about Lexington. We did the Louisville one, which was awesome. Did the Nashville one, which I was super stoked about, that I was asked to do. I'm doing one tonight actually on Instagram. So that's a different venue for me. My wife and I actually are both doing the Instagram one. And so, you know, during this time, I see it as an opportunity. I see everything as an opportunity. If something happens, you can't change it. So you have to go with it. You know, why fight it? Why get upset? You just go with it. And I see this as a reflection. You have to step back and look at your craft and be like, how can I make this better? And what can I do to, you know, how can I make myself better? And so I'm able to look at my costumes, clean my costumes like a lot of drag performers have not been. I've seen a lot of costumes where you're like, wow, you, yeah.
Dry cleaners are our friends.
Yes. But, you know, cleaning them, stoning them, learning new songs, you know, this was horrible because, you know, a lot of people, required on this for a job. A lot of people see this, you know, a lot of people actually, this is their full-time job, is drag is their full-time job. And, you know, my heart still goes out to them because, you know, without that, they don't have that income. And so those shows are made, you know, for them most definitely. But I see that as, you know, step back, clean everything, stone, you know, I've stoned shoes. My Amazon person knows me. So, you know, I think that's everybody right now. But yeah, I've got new costumes and I cannot wait to show everybody. But, you know, I'm up for anything when it comes to, you know, performing live. It's definitely different because you're not used to, I'm used to interacting with people. You know, I'm interacting to a phone or to a laptop. So you don't hear that, you know, that yay or the, you know, the silence, and you're kind of like, but you know, you just kind of go with it. You pray to God and people like it.
So how important is performing for you, you know, emotionally and in as part of your mental health? You know, is that something that are you like suffering because you can't, I mean, you're able to perform, but only privately, essentially. How, what's that like?
Yeah. So a little bit about me. I actually suffer from severe depression and severe anxiety. I am on meds. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought that was a, you know, horrible thing to be on. And you don't talk about mental illness and stuff like that. And my wife has definitely been a supporter of me to tell people, you know, my struggle and tell people, you know, it's okay, you know, to have this. And drag, it takes you out of your mind. You know, it gives you a break, because constantly, you know, I do have a full-time job and I'm constantly talking and thinking all day long. And that gave me a break. Thank God that I was able to build my own gym actually outside. So that helps. But drag, I can be somebody else for a little bit. I don't have to be me in my regular life. You know, I can be somebody else and I can play a different character, and it doesn't have to be the same character every time. I can be funny on this performance. I can be, you know, thoughtful. I can be dramatic, you know, and it's definitely, I miss it. You know, it, and it helps doing the digital, but being live, I don't know. You know, if you've ever seen me, you know, perform live, I'm really, really hyper. And so I have all this energy because I just love looking at people. I love seeing people's faces and I love the interaction and people are dancing. And of course that rubs off on me. And of course that releases endorphins. When you're having a good time, I'm having a good time. And so it's playing a little bit of a mind game with me, but I keep thinking that it's one day I can be back on a stage or be back in front of crowds and just entertain the crap out of them. And, you know, it's going to be great again. That's what's getting me through this. And I for sure miss it. Oh, I miss it so much. But, you know, we have to be safe and we have to be healthy. And, you know, just like the governor says, we have to get through this and we have to get through it together.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I mean, I've done some performances myself as well. And it's like, you know, you just get out of your head, you get into a different sort of space and energy. And it's something that is hard to replicate. And, you know, when you don't have it, you definitely miss it. And even if, you know, it's not something you're doing every day, but it helps kind of keep you in balance.
Yeah. It gives you a break.
Now you mentioned your wife, and she's a performer as well. I don't know if we can talk about her. I don't know if that's allowed or not. She might come in and shut us down.
No. She's perfectly fine. She's actually upstairs. We're both working from home right now, so.
Well, we won't tell your boss that you're on this. And she's a diva.
On lunch.
You're on lunch. Yes.
I'm on lunch. Well, yes.
They don't know when it was recorded.
No.
So she's a diva. What exactly is a diva?
A diva is a female. Like a bio. So you have drag kings, which are females that dress up as males and perform. And then divas are women that have more costumes. They're still females, but they wear like the heavier makeup, flashier costumes, sometimes less clothes, you know, almost like burlesque, you know, and it just brings a different element to being a female. And so I've seen costumes where you're just like, huh?
So it's a little bit like the male entertainers in the drag world.
Yeah.
Right. So you have, you know, with drag, you have drag queens, and then you have male entertainers that are cisgender men, typically cisgender men performing as men, but almost sort of a stylized or very sexy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So do you all perform together?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we perform together in the group. Her name is Lady Heather Cruz. And we've been performing, I've been performing for about 15 years, and she's been doing it for a, she's yelling at me. Oh, nine.
So like, I got a couple other things to correct too. So 11 years. So did you get her into it, or did you all meet out on the circuit?
We met on the circuit, actually. It's a long story.
We probably don't have time for the whole story.
Oh no. It's a very, very long story.
We might lose our G rating.
Right. We met the first day. Funny story, the first moment I ever met her, and I'll tell people this, you know, all day. I had a girlfriend, she had a girlfriend, but the first time I saw her, I looked at my friend, I said, "That's the woman I'm gonna marry."
Wow.
And ta-da.
Wow.
We've been together for 2000. We've been
I'm sure she can yell it out.
How long have we been together? 10 years. We've been together for 10 years.
10 years. Wow. Congratulations. And you all have your chickens and, you know, everything.
Yeah, we got
right?
chickens, dogs, you know, cats. So yeah, we got a little farm life. When I took a break, actually, from drag, we decided to try and start a chicken farm. So hashtag redneck lesbian. We got about 30 chickens. So if you ever need farm fresh eggs, free range, let me know.
Well, and this is what people are worried about. You never know when your neighbor might be a secret redneck lesbian drag king performer. You know, it's like that's the America we're living in.
Yes, and you know, surprisingly, like everybody here where we live at, you would think, oh my God, that's so redneck, you know. But everybody knows that we're gay, and they're awesome with it. They're like, you guys are my favorite people, and I'm like, I love that the world is changing one person at a time.
It really is. I mean, and you all, I won't say where you live. Yeah, I don't want to get to, but you're outside the Waterson Expressway. And I feel like some of us, you know, there's an element in our culture here that just feels like, oh wait, you know, I thought everyone LGBT lives in the Highlands, you know, we're all in one area. And it's like, no, people come in all shapes and all sizes and all neighborhoods, and, you know, and they can be happy in all of those neighborhoods.
Oh yeah. I mean, we were so happy I bought a house.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think we can go on and on. Now that we're on to chickens and everything, there's no good stopping point. So thank you for joining me for this conversation. And is there anything else that you want to share before we leave today?
Well, with the viewers and everything, definitely during this time of COVID, some people can get out, some people can't. For mental health, most definitely talk to somebody. I don't care if it's a rock. I don't care if it's a ladder. It does not matter. Please, please, please talk to somebody. You know, if you're feeling down, depressed, whatever, you don't have to talk to me. I am not licensed by any means. But, you know, if you think I'm pretty chill, pretty cool, please reach out to me. I think it is definitely important. I think people need to really start talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is definitely taking a toll on a lot of people. And I'm not usually a person who gets too affected by that, but I'm definitely experiencing it myself. And, you know, and a lot of it's just recognizing that's what it is and reaching out to people and talking and doing things, you know, being active. So thank you for being honest and open with us about that. That's very brave and very appreciative. And I think people will, you know, can identify with that. And thank you for everything you do, entertaining and performing for us. And I look forward to seeing you on a real stage sooner rather than later.
Right.
Well, you take care, and you can let your wife know that we're done.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye.